America's top talk shows with breaking news, traffic, and weather.
WHIO.
WHIO.
Good morning, everyone. This is Dr. Van Merkel at Take Two Healthcare. Great to be with you this first weekend, the Thanksgiving weekend. I am Dr. Merkel, doctor of chiropractic, board certified in clinical nutrition. I've been right here behind this marvelous microphone for, over 25 years. It's really an honor to be with you to be able to be on this this great radio station. And if you are listening online, just remember, anywhere you are in the country, in the world, you can listen to WHIO. Just go to WHIO.com. And these shows are recorded, and you can download them anytime. I am Dr. Merkel, doctor of chiropractic, board certified in clinical nutrition. And I work at Take Two Healthcare. We got a couple of great other doctors we work with there. Dr. Natalie Yaley, who's certified in thermography. Now, that is a safe, painless breast scan. And for overall health, breast, and other things, the thermography is a wonderful tool. It's been used for many years, and especially in other countries. And as I said, it's a safe, painless breast scan. And tie that in with lab testing, and you got a pretty good tool there to use. We've got Andrew Dyer, Dr. Dyer. He's board certified in acupuncture and board certified in nutrition. And we got a great website. You can go to take2healthcare.com, take2healthcare.com. We got a great website on there, a lot of information, a lot of case studies. In fact, I'm going to talk about some of those things. There's some things I want to talk about COVID, but first, I'm kind of over the top with COVID and all the stuff going on with it. I want to cover some other things here. Some other important things to get you to think a little bit about our amazing, incredible body and how just miraculous it is. And so I wanted to start off today with just some amazing things like, wow. Talk about changing the world and how we could save our country, our government, our insurance companies, our communities, millions of dollars. If we just had people try maybe a safe, natural option. And here's a lady, came to see Dr. Dyer. And this lady came, first presented to our office in March of 2019 with omentum cancer. And this is one of the worst cases of cancer I have ever seen. And this lady there, for you doctors, med students, nurses out there, the cancer markers, which are an indication of how much cancer activity is going on, they're called the ones we're going to talk about, CA-125, CA-15-3, and CEA. Now, the CA means cancer antigen, and it indicates how much cancer pathology is happening in the body. And these numbers are supposed to be low, like less than 38, some less than 3. So they're supposed to be very low, and or at least at an optimal number. And the CA-125... it was supposed to be less than 38, was 315. The CA-15-3, well, it was a little high, but the main one here is the CEA is supposed to be around less than 5, and it was 114. So the CA-125 and the CEA were extremely high, one of the worst I've ever seen. But even this lady had metastasis. It was omentum cancer. Omentum is like the lining around your intestines and organs and things like that. And she had cancer this. And she had masses in the abdominal cavity, in the heart, lungs, liver, all over. And even more important than that, she'd been having to get, she was in the end stages of life. She was having to get, let's see, they'd been taking 1 to 1.0 liters of fluid off multiple times per week. She had ascites, which is an indication of liver, pancreas, your body shutting down. And if you've got ascites due to omentum cancer, you've truly got, at most weeks, probably just a few days to live. And especially they've been doing 1 to 1.5 liters of fluid multiple times a week, not just once a week or once every couple, but multiple times. And combine that with the tumors, truly days to live. And look what happened. This type of work we do at Take Two Healthcare. We get the body healthy. And their cancer marker dropped, the CA125, probably the most important one, dropped from 315 down to 123 in 2 months. 315 down to 123 in 2 months. And the CEA went from 114 down to 26 in 2 months. That's medically incredible. Medically impossible. No chemo, no radiation, no surgery. Just all natural things that we do in our clinic. And within after 2 weeks on this special nutritional program and diet and vitamins and everything that Dr. Dyer had her do, after 2 weeks, she no longer had to go in to get fluid drained off her abdomen. No longer did she have ascites. That's incredible. Absolutely amazing. And on 2 months, her numbers, actually within 5 months, that 315 CA125 went down to 37. That is now under the clinical range. And his CEA is at 114 down to 3. And this lady's alive today, doing live and well. I talked to Dr. Dyer about this patient on Monday, and he said, oh, she's doing fine. Wow. Oh, my gosh, wow. 79 years old is how old this patient was. 79 years old. I guarantee you, if she had done chemo, anything medical, it would have killed her, and she'd be dead, long gone, forgotten. But look what can happen, how the body can heal and repair. I'm not saying chemo and radiation, all that's really bad, but here's the main question. Here's the main question you need to ask yourself. If you delay chemo or radiation or anything medical for 2 weeks, will that make any difference in your long-term outcome? Well, yeah, you could live a lot longer like this lady did. You could live a lot longer like this lady did if you delay chemo and radiation to see if there's a safe natural option. I'm going to go right now to another case, and this fella has had leukemia for 10 years, and it was advanced 10 years ago, and the doctor had recommended starting on chemo right away because the numbers were so bad. The scans were positive, and the blood work was just, I mean, the CBC, the white count was extremely high. The red count was extremely low. Alkaline phos was very high. When the alkaline phos is high, that means the cancer is metastasized to the bone. It indicates bone is breaking down when the alkaline phos is high. And so 10 years ago, and I just saw him this week when I first started seeing him, they elected, and here's a question I asked him. If you delay chemo or radiation, if you delay chemo or radiation or anything medical for 2 weeks, will that make any difference in your long-term outcome? Well, they followed her program. They started on a program. And he's got a tremendous asset. His wife. His wife is helping him do this. I guess she wants him around, which is why she says I nag him all the time. She says she nags him. Why? Because she wants him around. And so she helps him follow the program to eat the proper diet, to take the vitamins that we've recommended. And the cancer, not the cancer markers, although there are some like the alkaline phos and the red and white blood count and other numbers, they improved. The CRP improved. And the patient is alive and well today, 10 years, more than 10 years after being diagnosed with leukemia. Now, the doctor, he got sick a couple months ago and the numbers got bad. And the doctor wanted to do a biopsy. Well, he got tested with us again a few weeks later, and the numbers had rebounded, had improved very nicely. And the doctor still wants to do a biopsy. Because the biopsy would give an indication of how bad the leukemia is. Okay, I understand that. But I asked the patient just this week, what if the bones, the biopsy of the bone shows that the cancer is still there or it's changed? What would you do? Would you do chemotherapy? I said, well, I don't know. I said, well, let me ask you this. Do you have any pain and do you have any impairments with what you do? I mean, how's your life? How do you live your life? Well, he said, I still chop wood about, I can chop wood 2 hours, several times a week. I can go bowling with my buddies. I can do everything I want. So I think, so I ask him, why would you do a bone biopsy if you wouldn't do chemotherapy? Because if you do chemotherapy, you probably are. Chemotherapy could accelerate your demise. Could actually accelerate your demise. It might reduce some numbers, but then after the effect of that wears off in a few days or a few weeks, it could accelerate your demise and you could die faster. So if you can chop wood for two hours, why would you think the chemotherapy is going to do you any good? You've been great for 10 years. Your numbers are better now than they were a couple months ago when your medical doctor looked at it. And so now, actually, your numbers are now, some of them are better than they have been in years, which means you are improving. Why would you change that? What would you do? Would you want to do a biopsy? A bone biopsy? A bone biopsy is very invasive. I mean, they're punching through a lot of tissue, punching through bone. That's a huge wound. That is a big wound. And do you think that's a good idea? We got another fellow here who had renal cell carcinoma, stage 4, diagnosed about 8 years ago. And at that level of cancer, kidney cancer is what we're talking about. Renal cell carcinoma, kidney cancer. It was stage 4 when it was diagnosed. And they wanted to do and take a kidney out. They wanted to do the regular medical treatment. And even then, the best they could hope for, and when you study this thing, the duration of longevity of advanced renal cell carcinoma is about 3 years, maybe five. And let me say this word, survival, a 3 to 5 year survival. They're not talking about quality of life. We're talking survival. And they came to see me 7 or 8 years ago when they were first diagnosed. And they asked me, can I help them? I said, I don't know. I don't know if I can help you. I know you got blood and you get some pain and it's bad and everything else. I don't know. But I said, if you do the medical route, you know you're going to be gone within 5 years and you're going to be probably suffering greatly. Why don't you try my way for 2 weeks? If you see maybe a little improvement, try 2 months. So that's what he did. He tried it. And what my philosophy is, if we get you healthy enough, can your body fight cancer? Can your body fight anything? In fact, that's one of my philosophies. You get the body healthy enough, doesn't matter the name of the disease, because even serious problems sometimes have simple, safe solutions. And so that's what we do with all the testing when somebody comes in with a serious problem, or not so, you might just have high blood pressure, high cholesterol, but we're going to test you to see what your body needs, what it's deficient in, what's imbalanced, what's toxic, and we're just going to analyze your body metabolically and it work to get you healthy. I don't have a cure for cancer. I don't have a cure for anything. Your body has the cure. Your body knows how to do all of this stuff, and all I have to do is get the body healthy. It'll take care of itself. Hey, we got to take a break right now. We got more great cases to come. We're going to talk about COVID a little bit. I'm Dr. Merkel at Take Two Healthcare. We'll be right back after these messages.
It's an Ask the Expert weekend on Dayton and Springfield's 24-hour news, weather, and traffic station, 1290 and 95.7 WHIO, Dayton's News and Talk. It's our Ask the Expert weekend on the Miami Valley radio station with breaking news, weather, and traffic, 1290 and 95.7 WHIO, Dayton's News and Talk.
And we're back. This is Dr. Van Merkel at Take Two Healthcare. It's great to be with you this Saturday after Thanksgiving. And we've talked about some very, very phenomenal cases. And there are so many more I could talk about. Oh, my gosh, so many more cancer cases just like this. But we can also talk about people with lupus, MS, Crohn's, ulcerative colitis, psoriasis. You know, I see all these advertisements on TV about these new drugs. And these drugs are going to give you, you know, extend your life and all this stuff. When you look at a fine print, they're talking about survival of a few extra months. They're not talking years like I'm showing you here, like 10 years. The fellow with renal cell carcinoma, just before the break, I was talking about that one. And he's been gone, it's now 7 or 8 years. And he does he bowls, he golfs, he walks, he does everything he wants to do. He's about 80 years old now. And he has no impairment. He has no pain from the cancer. he's asked me if he should get a PET scan to see if the masses are still there. Well, why? I said, why do you care if there's masses? Because from a medical standpoint, they're probably still there. But they're not giving him any trouble. They're not giving him any trouble. And so if you leave him alone, don't recommend a PET scan with dye, you know, don't irritate that cancer at all. It's been in remission, it's been stable, it's been silent for 8 years. Why rock the boat? Same with the leukemia patient I was telling you about. Why rock the boat? Why do the biopsy and put the body under a huge stress from a wound? I could talk about many other cases the same way. If you're in remission, look, we're fighting cancer every day. Every day. The estimates are from anywhere from 100 to 1,000 possibilities of cancer every day. And your body's healthy. If a healthy body can easily take care of those, and with no problem, take care of it and find it. So here's how we look at the body differently. Medically, you go to these oncology centers, they just kill the cancer. Let's go and destroy it and cut it out and burn and cut and everything else and destroy the cancer, which is a nice thought. But in the process of destroying the cancer, what happens? You destroy the body. That's why it's rarely the first round of cancer that kills somebody. It's the second and third one, because now your body is weaker. You've destroyed the cancer cells are a little more delicate than your own natural cells. So the idea is you poison the body such that your more delicate, sensitive cancer cells die before you die. But then cancer cells mutate, the body becomes weaker, and then the cancer gets control and you die. Where what we do, let's get the body healthy. If you fought cancer for MS, lupus, Crohn's, if you fought whatever disease you've had for your whole life, why do you have it now? Why did you get it 2 years ago? That's one of the most important questions I have when I train doctors. I tell them to, that reminds me of something I got to share with you here. It's the most important question I tell people. The most important question you need to ask your patients is, how long have you had the problem? How long have you had the problem? Okay, I got to share I got a text and I got to share it with you here. Excuse me while I scroll through and find it. Let's see, PQRS. Got to find out where it is. Okay, there it is. And let me read the title of this thing. Okay. This is a third international conference on traditional medicine, ethnomedicine, and natural therapies in Tokyo, Japan. And it says, Dear Van Merkel, good day. We are ecstatic to invite you as a speaker to the third international conference on traditional medicine, ethnomedicine, and natural therapies in May. And yes, I was invited. If you recall, a couple years ago, I was invited to South Korea, where I spoke to the International Integrated Oncology Conference. Let's say it again, the International Integrative Oncology. Yeah, I was the keynote speaker at an oncology conference in Seoul, Korea, a little over 2 years ago. And now I've been invited to Japan to speak at traditional medicine, because these doctors overseas are interested in alternative natural care therapies. They are in natural therapies. The doctors in the United States are not so interested, because these cases I've told you about, maybe the fellow with renal cell carcinoma, that he would have been dead probably 5 years ago, his cost is probably maybe $6,000, $7,000, and he's alive and well, versus chemotherapy, radiation. There's a cancer case I talk about, lady with stage 4 breast cancer. She came to me for a second opinion, and her cancer marker was over 180, supposed to be less than 38, was in 3 months down to less than 38. That's been about 14 years ago. Now, the cost for her treatment the first 3 months in my office, including all the consults, all the testing, everything we need, was right around $3,000. Now, if she had done a chemo and radiation route, what would it have been? Well, way more than that. The leading cause of bankruptcy in our country is medical bills. It's going to cost you a fortune, and you're going to die anyway when you do chemo and radiation. But now she is doing great. This lady with breast cancer, stage 4 breast cancer, doing great all these years. But medically, the best they could offer was 8 years. They said, if you do all the chemo radiation we want, you got eight years to live. Now, how many of you think that if she had stage 4 breast cancer, that she would have lived even 3 years? Probably not. But she's doing great today, and her cancer marker is staying down, and she's doing very good. So we are very excited about that. Now, I got a caller here on the vaccine, Ron. You hold on. We're going to take that right after the break. I don't want to cut this short because there's a lot we're going to talk about here with the vaccine. I got just a couple minutes. I want to talk about my mom. She got COVID about 3 weeks ago. She is in a hospital now, and she is recovering nicely. She's 90 years of age. Now, she is recovering, but slow. She's 90 years old. She's not been vaccinated, and she is doing actually remarkably well. She's in a nursing home where she needs to be to recuperate. My sister said she's now getting to the bathroom by herself, which is probably one of the main things. She is a heavy 90-year-old lady, and so she's hard to pick up. They got more support, more equipment at the nursing home to take care of that. And we're hoping that mom gets out. And it's going to be a few weeks for mom just to get her strength back. But at 90, listen to this, everybody. At 90 years old, she survived COVID. She survived COVID, which goes back to one of my main things I talk about with COVID. It's comorbidities, okay? She has two. She's old and she's overweight. But the most important comorbidity is she's on no medication. That, I believe, is by far the most if you're on any drugs, that's a comorbidity. Any drugs means you are sick and your immune system is not as healthy as it should be. So the more drugs you take, the more comorbidities you have. Now, let me tell you, just before we go to break, there's a drug that's being passed out greater than ever before. Vaccines are drugs. Vaccines are drugs. And we're going to talk about that after the break, about these new drugs and what they may be doing to people. You're listening to Dr. Merkel at Take Two Healthcare. We'll be right back after these messages.
It's an Ask the Expert weekend on Dayton and Springfield's 24-hour news, weather, and traffic station, 1290 and 95.7 WHIO, Dayton's News and Talk. It's our Ask the Expert weekend on the Miami Valley radio station with breaking news, weather, and traffic, 1290 and 95.7 WHIO, Dayton's News and Talk.
And we're back. This is Dr. Van Merkel at Take Two Healthcare. Great to be with you this Thanksgiving weekend. And hopefully you are enjoying your turkey. And you know, if you cheat once in a while, I don't care. Just don't continue to cheat. You know, if you cheat once a week, fine. If you cheated a couple of times during this Thanksgiving, fine. Just get back to it. You know, we got to live, that kind of thing. My mom's in the hospital. Excuse me, not in the hospital. She's in a nursing home now. And one thing we found that my mom has got to have every day is a piece of chocolate. You know, as people get older, with my mom, I told my brothers and sister, at mom's age, the primary source of enjoyment, pleasure, maybe even entertainment is food. And if mom wants to have a little piece of chocolate or chocolate milkshake, that's fine. Really, that's fine. We're all going to die from something. And she's already lived well beyond the average age, which reminds me of a phrase. The average age of death from COVID is older than the average age of death. Did you get that? The average age of death from COVID is older than the average age of death. And still, regardless of everything you've heard, recuperating from COVID naturally is still 99.9%. It is well over 99% that you're going to recover from COVID if you're relatively healthy. Only the sickest of the sick die from COVID. But healthy people, perfectly healthy people are dying from the vaccine. They are dying from the vaccine. I talked last week about there are many reports of professional athletes collapsing on the field, even dying on the field. And here's a new one where there's a Madrid professional soccer player collapses during a game. Now, how come we don't hear that on news? That professionals are dropping, are collapsing. Some are dying. Probably never to play professionally again. Alex, I'd like to go to Ron. He's been patient held online. Ron, are you there? Hello, Ron.
Yeah, I'm here.
Hello, Ron. Thanks for calling. Happy Thanksgiving. How was your Thanksgiving day?
I'm getting some news in the background or something.
Be sure and turn your radio down or off while we're talking.
Hello.
You with me? Hello? Can you hear me, Ron? Hello, Ron?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah,
go ahead. You're on the air.
My question is on the vaccine and a side effect of any neurological, like personality changes. I have two friends of mine. She's 74, has had all the vaccines, all the boosters, and seems to have had a really drastic personality change. And I have a friend of mine that runs a auto repair business, and she's got five or six customers that are in their 50s and 60s, and she has noticed a big personality change in them. And she knows that they are vaccinated with boosters and everything also. And I was just wondering if there's any, have you seen any documentation or heard of anything or experienced anything with the
You know, that's I have not heard of those kind of changes. However, if you get physical changes to the body and nervous system, like I've got some here reported November 27th, a man says the vaccine shattered, and I quote, shattered my life. He said there are too many silent sufferers. I'm here for those who cannot be here today. And this is an interesting one. This was at a testimony at a Senate hearing. He's a 51-year-old research nurse practitioner, and honesty is very important to him. He has 4 degrees, medicine is second career. He was vibrant, funny, healthy, with no medical conditions or other vaccine reactions. But after the vaccine, he developed problems with his right arm, traveled to his head and neck. Against his better judgment, he got the second shot. Within 4 days, debilitating tinnitus, which is ringing in the ears. And he found himself in a fetal position on the bathroom floor. He thought his life was over. He had tachycardia, brain fog. And he was ended up in the ER and was dismissed and sent home with ibuprofen. He now has trouble standing, severe insomnia, muscle tremors, generalized neuropathy. He can't, and still he can't take anybody to take an interest in him. In his problem, all they're doing is trying to brush it off as psychological problems rather than side effects from the vaccine. So I think what you're talking about is something that's yet even to be discussed. They might think, so many side effects are brushed off and ignored because the reporting process is so difficult. And I'd bet doctors are ostracized if they start reporting all the possible side effects. Because they're vested in these vaccines. So, Ron, I don't know. I think we're just seeing the tip of the iceberg of side effects from these vaccines.
That's kind of what I was wondering. And, I mean, these were all vibrant people, too. And a lot of, like my 74-year-old friend, it really is kind of like a fog. We do wildlife rescue together. And there's times that we're trying to talk to her about, we get a call in about something, and it's just like total oblivion as to, you know, no caring about it anymore. And it I don't know if she's just burnt out or if I think it's part of the side effects of this vaccine.
And I wouldn't doubt it. We really have no idea the side effects of the vaccine. No idea what side effects are because it was never studied.
Right.
Never studied. Ron, thanks for calling. Thanks for calling in, and we're going to talk more about that now. Here's another caller, not another caller. Here's a report reported November 15th, man becomes paralyzed again at the Senate hearing. After getting the vaccine, the very next day he began experiencing side effects he believed were caused by the shot, including incontinence and ED. And then he started having problems with his legs. He went to the ER. He was sent home. And 3 days later, he said he felt like a drunk, he felt like he had drunk poison. He went to bed, and 4 hours later, he woke up paralyzed. And he's on a ventilator, and after 105 days, he's still trying to get better. Countless biopsies and tests, he said, and I quote, all in an attempt to try to pin my paralysis on my body and not the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. Now I quote, he's now unemployed and fully disabled, a paraplegic. And the only thing I did between full health, my current condition, was take the shot. Another one, 8 weeks ago, I took a needle in my arm. Since then, my life has changed. Vaccine running through my body. He has trouble thinking and ringing the ears. It's absolutely crazy and doesn't stop. And now I can't even walk. He said, they don't want me telling you guys this because they want to make sure you guys get the vaccine. And man begs you to listen to his warning after the COVID vaccine. 8 weeks after I took a needle in my arm, vaccines run through his body. So the thing is, they're looking to get more vaccines. But you notice they're always that the Moderna and Pfizer is only wanting the vaccine under the EUA authorization, emergency use authorization. You see, there had been COVID vaccines in development since 2005. Corona COVID virus vaccines have been in development since 2005, and none of them, zero, have made it to market. You know why they didn't make it to market? Because they killed too many laboratory animals. They killed two, and that's a fact. They killed too many laboratory animals. I've said before many times that there's a researcher reported in MedPage that in 2014, or was it 17, there's a coronavirus that was going through the proper testing procedures, and it never made it to market because, and I like this quote, because it caused profound effective infertility. Profound effective infertility. In men and in the laboratory animals, and he said the same thing's going to happen with COVID-19. But let me ask you this: if you vaccinate your 5-year-old, your 10-year-old, when are you going to know if it causes infertility? We don't know. Absolutely don't know. Is it going to increase the risk of cancer? We don't know, because emergency use authorization is what they want. Because these vaccines means emergency use means they're not been studied. Not only does it mean they haven't been studied, it also means, even more importantly, they have no liability. All these vaccines under EUA, emergency use authorization, the U.S. government alone has given these blanket immunity. So all these people are becoming paralyzed. They're dying. They're collapsing on the field. And there are at least 17,000, and it's estimated as many as over 200,000 people died directly from the vaccine. But there is no liability to the drug company. Is that a good gig or what, to get it promoted by the government? And now we got a new one. Oh, got the variant. Omicron, but I'll say oh my god. Oh my gosh, there's another one. Well, guess what? There's going to be lots of others. There's going to be a lot of other variants. Because you know what? Viruses mutate. That's what they do. They mutate. But also, this vaccine does something unique. This is not like, they call it a jab because it's not a true vaccine. Because when you take the pneumonia shot or the mumps and measles, it's to keep you from getting mumps and measles. Not so with these COVID shots. These COVID shots do not keep you from getting it or spreading the virus. It is only supposed to keep you from dying and end up in the hospital. Well, to die from COVID, you got to be in the worst health of 99.9% of the people in the country. You got to be really, really sick to die from COVID. You got to have a lot of other stuff going on in your body, whether you know it or not. But for the vaccine, healthy people die from the vaccine. Absolutely, they die from the vaccine. And so I want to explain the immune system a little bit, just briefly here. Your immune system is not infinite. You have a limited amount of immune system, and you want to keep it as optimized, as healthy as possible. But remember, you got to be really, really, really sick to die from COVID. Okay, the vaccine, let's say, is going to dedicate 30% of your immune system to only identifying the COVID-19 variant. COVID-19, 30%, and it can't see the Delta, it can't see the all these other, the Omicron variant, it can't see any of those except that COVID-19. So now they modified it to where it'll take care of the Delta variant. Well, then you've now dedicated another 10% of your immune system to that variant. And they're going to keep modifying these vaccines to get you more and more shots because there's more and more mutations happening. And so that's what they're trying to do. But each time you give somebody a shot, their 100% immunity is now permanently reduced. Maybe it's now down to 98%. You take another shot, now it's down to 95%, maybe down to 94%. And so now you've dedicated 30% of 94%. I know the numbers are crazy, but your total immune system is being reduced by the vaccine itself. That's the nature of this vaccine versus others. So the more vaccines you take, the more susceptible you're going to be to other problems. And the countries that have the most vaccination are having the highest incidence of COVID right now. They're having the highest incidence of hospitalizations and deaths. But they're doing a little trick, United States. They've pulled a fast one on us. You're now counted unvaccinated if you haven't had both vaccines. And where they're now recommending the third booster, if a third booster is now required, and I think it is in some areas, you are now totally, according to government, unvaccinated. Did you get that? Unless you keep up with all of your vaccines, according to the government mandated schedule, you are unvaccinated. In fact, even if you get all three, if you haven't gone 2 weeks past the vaccine, you're unvaccinated. So if you've had one or two vaccines for COVID and you get COVID and die from it, if you didn't get your booster, you're counted as unvaccinated. That's absolutely true. Your count is unvaccinated. If you die from COVID and you haven't had your booster, they count that as unvaccinated. So in MedPage, there is all kinds of discussion about this. They're saying we should not be counting numbers like that because it's deceptive. We should have, all of our computer systems and everything going on, we should be able to say, if you've had one vaccine, this happens. If you had two vaccines, this happens. If you've had three vaccines, this happens. Instead of, well, if you don't have all three, you're not vaccinated. Well, pretty soon, it's going to be like Israel, where they're going to be recommending a fourth vaccine. Which, by the way, if you think your passport, your vaccine passport is good, it's only as good until the government says you don't need another vaccine. And they may switch. They may go on to other things. They may say, well, unless you're fully vaccinated, you can't get your welfare payments. Unless you're fully vaccinated, you can't get who knows what else. You don't get fully vaccinated, you don't get your Social Security payments. You don't get fully vaccinated, you don't get your disability checks. See how this thing can how the government can mutate what that vaccine passport means? You guys better fight that tooth and nail, this vaccine passport, because it can be, we're headed for trouble with that. And so I recommend that you don't do that. Now, as far as the pandemic, and we just heard on the radio about the vaccine, about how this new vaccine, or not the new vaccine, how the new variant, the Omicron, has like 30 spike proteins on it. And the PCR and the RNA viruses, there are 30,000 letters in the genetic information. And so there are, I know they say there are 23 spike proteins, but how many variations of 23 spike proteins are there? Millions of variations you could have with 23, because you could have 1, 2, and 5, 6, 3, and 8, 6, 4, 5, 7, 8. You can have so many variations of that. We're never going to get a vaccine that's going to cover them all. But you know what? I'm not worried. I am not worried about getting COVID at all, because my body is healthy. And I know for a fact I'm healthier than 99% of the people out there. All I have to do is be, if I'm in the top 90% of health, I got nothing to worry about. So if you want to know where you are, you ought to get tested. If you've been vaccinated, then there are tests that you should get. And I'd encourage you to think very strongly about getting any more, because the more vaccines you get, the more susceptible you're going to be to COVID variants, as well as other health problems. Like we mentioned here, paralysis, heart disease, neurological diseases, all kinds of things are going to occur with this thing. Hey, we got to take a break right now. Thanks for listening. I am Dr. Merkel. Take Two Healthcare. We'll be right back after these messages.
It's an Ask the Expert weekend on Dayton and Springfield's 24-hour news, weather, and traffic station, 1290 and 95.7 WHIO, Dayton's News and Talk. It's our Ask the Expert weekend on the Miami Valley radio station with breaking news, weather, and traffic, 1290 and 95.7 WHIO, Dayton's News and Talk.
And we're back. I'm Dr. Van Merkel at Take Two Healthcare. Say, if you would like some professional health advice, and to get tested to know where you really are with your health, or if you've been vaccinated to know if you're having immune problems, contact us. We'd love to help you get you tested and see what we can do. That's what we are. We help to avoid getting problems. And now I've had, most of my family's all gotten COVID. I don't think I've had it yet. I haven't tested positive for it. But all of my patients and everyone else, family, no one has died from it. No one has died from it. Of course, I'd say that the people that I deal with, my family, are all in the easy, the 90%, maybe even higher. So it doesn't take much to avoid getting COVID. But I want to read some headlines here. Vermont, the state of Vermont's COVID cases, despite the highest vaccination rate, COVID cases are the highest, actually the vaccination, Vermont is one of the highest vaccinated states in the country, and yet they are having high levels of COVID. And vaccinated people are 9 times more likely to be hospitalized than the unvaccinated. Did you get that again? But let's go back to Vermont. At nearly 72% vaccination rate in Vermont, it has the highest rate of fully vaccinated residents in the country, yet COVID cases are now surging to new heights. Vermont has the highest, one of the highest in the country, and yet cases are surging in spite of the vaccine, or maybe because of the vaccine. But here's the headline. Fully vaxxed are 9 times more likely to be hospitalized. Fully vaxxed are 9 times more likely to be hospitalized. And so whatever they're telling you, they're just telling you stuff to get you vaccinated, not for your health. And remember, our government has declared that our Congress, that our U.S. Congress are exempt from the vaccine. Yeah, our senators and politicians are exempt, and the White House staff are exempt from the vaccine. Now, if the vaccine were that important and that good, why are they exempting? Why'd they exempt themselves? Why did they get exempted from it? There's something we're not seeing, isn't there? And that is the problem. Oh, it is so, so sad what we're going through. And I think there's going to be a lot of people dying, a lot of death that we're going to see from the effect of this vaccine. A lot of sadness and things are going to happen from women who are infertile, boys who are infertile, that we're not going to know for 5-10 years. We just don't know. But we're in a grand experiment. Remember when I said there's been many coronaviruses that never made it past the animal stage? Who are the animals that we're testing now for the current COVID? We are. It's under EUA, Emergency Use Authorization, which means it's not been tested. It means it's not that they have no liability, zero liability. Now, if that doesn't make you think something strange is going on, and the new Pfizer data that came out, in the first few weeks, there's over 183,000 reported side effects. Last year in a Pfizer vaccine in their original studies, over 180,000 side effects that unfortunately we never heard about. But it's finally coming out. But I'd say wait, take your vitamins, vitamin D, C. And we got a whole protocol at our website, take2healthcare.com. Take2healthcare.com. You can get a protocol of vitamins. If you get COVID, if you've had vaccination, I'd recommend either way you get tested to see where your immune system is. Wow. We're going to be here next Saturday, every Saturday, 11 to noon. I am Dr. Merkel. Our mission is to help you be healthier. And there are definitely things you can do to be healthier. And we'd love to help you in your quest toward better health and to avoid serious health problems. Our number is 433-937-433-3241. Go to Take Two Healthcare and do something today to be healthier than you were yesterday. Take a walk off that turkey, eat some good, healthy cranberry, stuff. And by the way, go to church tomorrow. I'm Dr. Merkel.
It's an Ask the Expert weekend on Dayton and Springfield's 24-hour news, weather, and traffic station, 1290 and 95.7 WHIO, Dayton's News and Talk.